الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن المرأة إذا صلت خمسها وصامت شهرها وحفظت فرجها وأطاعت زوجها قيل لها ادخلي من أي أبواب الجنة شئت، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. My most respected mothers, sisters and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind, merciful and compassionate. Through His kindness, through His mercy, through His compassion, He has enshrouded all of us with innumerable favors. He has granted us existence from nothing. He has made us humans, healthy humans. He has granted us eyes, ears, tongue, brain, other limbs, other organs. With these physical bounties, He has granted us so many spiritual favors, the greatest of which is Iman. He has made us mu'min, believers. And He has granted us the honor of becoming the individuals of the greatest personality in His creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His kindness, mentions many favors that He has bestowed upon us throughout the Quran. I have created this for you. I have honored you with this favor. I have granted you this favor. I have done this for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that the human ponders and reflects upon these favors and reaches the conclusion that my Creator loves me because He is being very kind to me. If my Creator did not love me, He would not have been so kind. He would not have granted me so many favors, so many blessings, so many bounties. And after reaching this conclusion that my Creator loves me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to return that love with love. And He expects that we also begin to love Him. And we exert every effort to make sure that we do not do anything that displeases Him. Someone who has done so much for us, someone who has given us so much. How is it possible for a person with an average nobility to do something that displeases the bestower of so many bounties? Today, I wish to discuss some special favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the ladies with. And I would like to appeal to all my sisters who are present here today, the old, the young, the married, the unmarried, my mothers, my sisters, my daughters, those who are practicing the deen, those who are not yet practicing the deen, those who have come with a very good intention today, those who have just come to see what's happening in the program without any resolve, without any good intention. I appeal to all of you to listen very carefully and ponder over these a few favors, which are very simple to understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the women folk with. And thereafter come to this conclusion that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to us and He has granted us such high honor, the female gender, then should we not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repay Him for this favor? And should we not wholeheartedly accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our sole creator, sole cherisher, sole provider? Should we not accept each and every command of this beloved creator, this kind creator? And should we not strive to acquire His love that will bring peace of mind, contentment of heart in this world, and which will bring a everlasting blissful life in the hereafter? Let us begin with the cave of Hira. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches the age of approximately 40 when Jibril alaihi salatu wasalam arrives with the first wahi, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Being Muslims, we all know and we all understand the position that the Quran enjoys amongst all the holy scriptures. The Quran is the ultimate book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been there since Allah is there, and it will remain until Allah will remain. Allah has always been there. This book has always been there. And Allah will always remain. This book will always remain. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect each and every letter of this word. Nobody will be able to change either the word of the Quran or the translation of the Quran or the meaning of the Quran. There will always remain a group of reliable, God-fearing ulama who will make sure that the words of the Quran don't change, the meaning of the Quran don't change, and the commentary of the Quran does not change. It is this Quran regarding which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, إن الله تعالى يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقواما. It is through this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates people. It is regarding this book Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. This book will either speak in your favor on the day of Qiyamah and become a means of you granted entry, or this book will go against you on the day of Qiyamah if you do not fulfill its rights, and you will be doomed to the fire of hell. It is regarding this book Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara'a harfan min kitabillahi falahu bihi hasanatun. Without understanding the meaning even, if somebody recites this book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person 10 rewards for each letter. 10 rewards for each letter. This great book, a code of life. Code of life. It was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One can imagine the greatness of this book through the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This book was not revealed to Musa alayhi salam. It was not revealed to Dawood alayhi salam. It was not revealed to Sulaiman alayhi salam. It was not revealed to Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waited for that being to come to this universe who is the greatest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khuda se to kam aur sab se ala, do alam se bala hamare Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Less than Allah above everything, below Allah above everything else. That is our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is greater than anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waited for this being to arrive. And when he arrived, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the greatest book, the Quran. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of the messengers for this book. The best of the hearts for this book. The best of the angels. The best of the places, Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. The best of the month to initiate its revelation, Ramadan al-Mubarak. The best of the nights, Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Best of the place, best of the time, best of the malaika, best of the human, Allahu Akbar. This great book, the first revelation is revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Now think for a moment, my sisters. Go into the world of imagination and think for a moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to talk to humanity through his final book. That is why Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when visited by Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, began crying. Who says that Islam does not honor women? And who says that Islam despises women? When the likes of Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha were born. Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The one who looked after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his infancy. And it is because of this connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar used to constantly visit her. That she was the one who looked after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is her right that we go and pay her a visit. So one day Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, visited Hazrat Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And as soon as they went into the company of Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she remembered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she began weeping. She began weeping and she wept so much. Allahu Akbar. Because of the love she had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear sisters, my mothers, my daughters, instill in your hearts the love for that great being that is a bridge between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you instill in your hearts
the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you will definitely reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read his seerah, study his life, and try to inculcate in your life the good characters and the good morals that he had taught, practically and verbally. Umme Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha began weeping. Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma understood from her weeping that she is crying and she is weeping because she misses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said, "Oh Umme Ayman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? What is in the hereafter for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is much better than what he had in this world. He has left this world, he has reached the hereafter, he has met his creator. What is for him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more better than what he had in this world. Here he had your company, he had my company, he had our company, he had the company of the sahaba. Now he has the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the company of the malaika. He has the company of the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam." So Umme Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha said, "Yes, I also understand. I also understand. I am aware. But I am crying for another reason." So they said, "What is that reason?" So the meaning of what she said was that I am crying because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to talk to us through the messenger of Allah. Allah used to communicate to us, communicate with us through the agency of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed, our communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that existed through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to an end. No more revelations. Allah is not talking to us anymore through the messenger of Allah. That is what I am crying about. We find in the books of Ahadith, فَهَيَّجَتْهُمَا عَلَى الْبُكَى. This great point that she had understood when she explained it to Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar, they also began weeping. Allahu Akbar, what a ni'mat we are deprived of. So the very first time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with the humanity through his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, اِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقْ. Go into the world of imagination in Makkah Mukarramah 1400 years ago and think for a while. Would you have not wanted to be the first person to listen to that revelation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals for the very first time a portion of that great book, his word. And the possibility is that Abu Bakr may be the first person to be honored to hear the first words of the Quran. Or Umar, or Uthman, or Ali, or Bilal, or this person or that person. There were many possibilities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful over everything. He could have created a situation where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is arriving from the cave of Hira and Abu Bakr could have met him. Or he could have inspired the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he loved Abu Bakr very much and Abu Bakr loved him very much, that this is something that your wife may not be able to understand. Go to Abu Bakr and talk to him first. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this honor not to the male gender, to the female gender. How Allah has been kind to you, my sisters. This honor that Allah has bestowed upon the female gender, no one will be able to change it until the day of Qiyamah. And even after Qiyamah. The first person to listen to the very first revealed verses of this glorious book was Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam went into the company of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha and he narrated the whole incident, this very extraordinary experience. Abu Bakr was not there. It was Khadija. He recited the verses, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم. Iqra wa rabbuka lakramul ladhi allama bil qalam allama al insana ma lam ya'lam. And he said, inni akhafu ala nafsi. O Khadija, a great responsibility has been put onto my shoulders. I have been made the Nabi and the Rasul for the whole world. And I do not see myself fit for this work. This was his humbleness, his humility. Now comes the time when there is a need for somebody to console the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Who was given this honor? Again, the female gender. Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, despite knowing the position of Abu Bakr in the Quraysh, and despite knowing his connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not say, you go to sleep, I will call Abu Bakr and then you talk to him. Don't worry. She did not send somebody to call Abu Bakr. Then Abu Bakr, look what's happened to your friend. Can you talk to him? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. A very intelligent lady. She said, Kalla wallahi la yughzik Allahu abada. Very firmly she spoke. Without any hesitation, any doubt. She said, no, never. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot disgrace a person like you. With the great qualities that you have, how can Allah disgrace you? You are not an evil man. Innaka latasilur rahim. You are always kind to your relatives. وَتَحْمِلُ الْقَلِ. You always look after the needy. Those towards whom nobody pays attention. The widows, the orphans, the disabled, who are burdensome to people. You always look after them. وَتَقْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And you are always looking to create opportunities of jobs for those people who cannot sustain themselves. The poor people who are fit and healthy to work but they cannot find jobs. You are always looking to create opportunities for them. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you are always hospitable to people. When you find visitors in Makkah Mukarrama, strangers, you always bring them home for food. You always make arrangements for their accommodation. You always fulfill their needs. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And whenever you come across somebody who has been afflicted by a problem, you always support that person. So somebody who is always in the service of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can the creator disgrace that person? No, don't worry. كَاللَّهُ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. And she put him to sleep. She put him to sleep. And after putting him to sleep, she went to her cousin, Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who was a scholar of the holy scriptures. And she narrated the whole incident to Waraqa ibn Nawfal. The commentators of the hadith are saying that how intelligent was Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that she put him to sleep and there was a possibility that Waraqa may come up with a negative conclusion. So first she went to Waraqa, she narrated the whole incident to find out what the conclusion of Waraqa is. When Waraqa came up with a positive conclusion, and by that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had rested, she said, oh my husband, you know Waraqa, my cousin. He is a very great scholar. Let us go to him. And let us see what he has to say about this. In short, the first person that was honored to hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was a female gender. The first person to have been given the opportunity to console the final messenger in his mission was Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that, oh Aisha, never think or speak negative of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Because Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha had a lot of respect for Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. She was a very pious lady. She was not jealous, but she envied her. And she wanted to feel that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had more love for her than Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. It is a human nature. If a person has two wives, each one of them would want to feel that my husband loves me more. So one day she said, you speak of Khadija as if she was the only woman. She is the only woman in this world, nobody else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, oh Aisha, do not speak negative of Khadija. When the whole world was pushing me away, it was Khadija who supported me. And it is for this reason that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys salam to Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her the glad tidings of a palace in Jannah built of one pearl only. The whole palace will be made of one pearl only, a whole pearl, hollow pearl, which will be a palace for Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala. Thereafter, the first person to be granted the opportunity to spend wealth for the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was again Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the first person to become a martyr, a shaheed, for the cause of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was also a lady, Hazrat Sumayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. All these great honors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the female gender. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam thereafter in his teachings through the ahadith, through the Quran, when he explained the various injunctions in regard to men and women, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more lenient to the ladies than the men. Allah is kind to everybody. Allah is merciful to everybody. Every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of leniency. But there is more leniency for the ladies than the men. It is incumbent upon the men to perform 5 times salat regularly with jama'at. According to some ulama, jama'ah, performance of salat in the masjid with jama'ah is wajib. According to some ulama, sunnah muakkada. In any case, a person who does not perform salat with jama'ah without a valid excuse will be sinful. And when a person comes into the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply his salat by 25 times. And Allah will grant him reward of 25 salat. So if a person does not come to perform his salat in the masjid without valid Sharia excuse, number one, he will be absolved of the responsibility of performing his salat, but will not be rewarded. In fact, he will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Why did you not go and perform your salat with Jamaat? And if he takes all the pains, just think, my sisters, in winter when it is snowing, waking up early in the morning, performing wuzu, coming out in that cold winter morning, coming all the way up to the masjid, driving all the way up to the masjid, waiting for the imam to come, and then performing salat, and then returning back again in that cold morning. Then the man is rewarded 25 times. As for the lady, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, if a lady performs her salat at home, that salat is more beloved to Allah than the salat she performs in the masjid. This is not to deprive her of any honor. This is to make life easy for her. The performance of salat for a lady at home is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the salat that she performs in the masjid. So in order to grant her safety, in order to make Jannat easy for her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves her salat more in the home than in the masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a lady for performing her salat in her home 25 times more. So if a lady does not come to perform her salat in the masjid, it is more beloved to Allah. But if a man does not come to perform his salat in the masjid, it is disliked by Allah. The man, in order to acquire the rewards, multiple rewards, he will have to come to the masjid. And as far as the lady is concerned, if she stays home and performs her salat at home, she will get that multiple reward. And then, the man, day in, day out, 366 days per year, 30 days per month, 7 days per week, will have to perform 5 times salat on a daily basis. As far as the lady is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted her some days of holiday as well. During the days of menstruation, she does not perform salat. Some ladies for 3 days, some for 4 days, some for 5 days, some for 6, some for 7, some for even 10 days. So she performs salat at home 20 days per month. For every salat, she is being rewarded for 25 salat. And one who is punctual for 20 days or 25 days, and when the days of menstruation comes, then during those days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards her for 25 salat per each salat without even performing the salat. Inna al-mar'ata idha sallat khamsaha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Inna al-mar'ata idha sallat khamsaha. When a woman performs her 5 times salat regularly, wa samat shahraha, and when she fasts in the month of Ramadan, wa hafizat farjaha, and she protects her chastity, wa ata'at zawjaha, and she obeys the husband, remaining within the limits of the Sharia. And what is obedience to husband means? Obedience to husband does not mean that the lady is a slave and the husband is a master. No. No. As far as the spiritual aspects are concerned, they are both equal. It is possible that the husband will be in a lower status of Jannah than the wife on the day of Qiyamah. As far as the spiritual aspects are concerned, as far as the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, as far as majority of the worldly matters are concerned, the field of knowledge is concerned, the field of ibadat is concerned, field of spending this worldly life is concerned, they are both equal. When we say that the husband has a higher status than the lady, then it can be explained by a few people working in an office, in a factory, in a shop, where there are 10, 20, 30 people working. You have to have a manager who will use his veto. If everybody is equal in decision making, then how will that office function? How will that factory function? How will that company function? So in a household, we also have 5, 7, 10 individuals living together. And the husband has been instructed by the Sharia that he should pay careful attention to what the wife is saying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Sulh Hudaybiyah, when he encountered a small problem, went into the tent where Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, his wife, was sitting. And she said, "What is the problem with you? Why are you unhappy?" So he said, "I am encountering this problem." So she said, "Can I say something?" She said, "Yes, go ahead." She said, "Do this and you will solve the problem." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately acted. So you can say that the lady is not the slave and the husband is not the master. The husband is the king and the lady is the prime minister. The lady is the one who will give mashwara. she will give advice to the husband that, don't you think so it would be better to do it this way? Don't you think so we should do this way? Because the lady knows the condition of the children. She knows what is beneficial for the household. She is more aware of the condition of the girls, the condition of the boys. So she should give mashwara to the husband. Islam has instructed the men, وَآشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَآشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Spend life with your wives with goodness and kindness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to smile with the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. He used to joke with the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. He used to sit with them and he used to narrate stories to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So, وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا. She listens to the husband. And when she listens to the husband, she believes that this is the command of my Allah. And she will only listen to the husband in matters that are within the limits of the Sharia. لَا تَعَتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. As far as the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, she will not obey the husband. And if the husband oppresses her in any way, then Islam has given her all the opportunities to approach the court, to approach the group of ulama who are responsible for these types of things, so that they can bring a solution to her problems. So one who performs her 5 times salat regularly, fast in the month of Ramadan, protects her chastity, wa ataat zawjahan, remaining within the limits of Sharia, she obeys the husband, then on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to her, udkhuli min ayya abwabil jannati shi'ti. There are 8 doors of Jannah. Enter the Jannah through whichever door you wish to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things very easy for the women folk. Very easy for the women folk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the responsibility of sustaining the women from the men. As soon as a girl is born, the father is responsible. Until when? Until she gets married. As soon as she gets married, the husband is responsible for all her costs, for her maintenance. If the husband dies, then the son becomes responsible. If she is divorced, then the father becomes responsible. If the father is not alive, the brother becomes responsible. Look how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you. And my dear sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you great respect. Respect as a daughter, respect as a sister, respect as a wife, and respect as a mother. He has granted you respect from all aspects. If you are a daughter, let us study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What was his behavior with his daughters? What was his behavior with his daughters? So much kindness for the daughters. When he goes to the battle of Badr, one of his daughters is not well. So, despite Hazrat Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law, wanting to accompany him during this great mission, Hazrat Abu Bakr is with him, Hazrat Umar is with him, Hazrat Ali is with him, Hazrat Hamza is with him. Hazrat Usman also wanted to accompany him. He was one of those companions who would always stay in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you look after my daughter, she is not well. It is narrated in the books of Seerah that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to arrive from any journey, any expedition, it was his habit to go direct to the Masjid-e-Nabawi, and perform 2 rakat. After performing 2 rakat, he would sit in the masjid for a while. So the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, who were not with him in the journey, can come and say salam to him. And after that, before going to his wives, he would go direct to his daughter Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He would meet Fatima. He would spend a few moments with her. And then he would go to his home. And in one hadith, once he said, Man aghdabani, aghdaba Fatimata. One who makes me unhappy will make Fatima unhappy. One who makes me angry will make Fatima angry. So much love for the daughter. And in a hadith, he said, من آل جاریتین حتی تبلغا جاء یوم القیامت انا وہو کہتین. One who looks after two daughters until they reach the age of puberty, until they become balig, one who sustains them, one who looks after them, one who nurtures them, until they become balig, then on the day of Qiyamah, he will be with me in Jannah, he will be granted entry into Jannah, and I and him will be so close in Jannah, that in order to explain that close proximity, he indicated with his two fingers, the index finger and the middle finger, and he put them together and he said, just as these two fingers are together, we will be together in Jannah, one who looks after two daughters. And before the advent of Islam, before the advent of this merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was the condition of the people? They used to bury their daughters alive. For them to give birth to a daughter, to give birth to a daughter was disgrace. So they would bury the daughter. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ala jariyatin, one who sustains two daughters, one who nurtures two daughters. And when these two daughters reach the age of puberty and the father and the mother looks after them, they will be in Jannah like this with me. As for sister, if you look in the books of Seerah, we find, we all know that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have a blood sister. He was the only child of Amina. But he spent his childhood in the home of Halima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, where Halima radiyallahu ta'ala anha had other children. And one of the daughters of Halima was Shima. And Shima was much older than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she used to hold Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her hands. And she used to play with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his childhood. And in the books of Seerah, we find certain couplets as well, that when she used to play with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she used to make dua in poetry. And she used to say, oh Allah, give my brother Muhammad a long life. And oh Allah, let me see that day when he become the king of kings. This is how much love Shima had when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was young. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become the Prophet of Allah, and Shima is brought to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a group of people from Banu Saad. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his sister Shima, and when he is informed that this is your sister Shima, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam removes the sheet and the loin that was covering the top part of his body. Such a blessed shawl, such a blessed cover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he spreads it on the floor and he says to his sister, sit down on this. Islam honors a woman when she is a daughter. Islam honors a woman when she is a sister. And Islam honors a woman when she is a wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khayrukum khayrukum linisa'ihim. From amongst you, the best person is he who is best to his wife. Khayrukum khayrukum linisa'ihim. The best amongst you is the one who is best to his wife. And when the same lady becomes a mother, Islam respects her and honors her when she is a mother also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. Jannat lies beneath the feet of your mothers. That means, oh man, if you want to acquire Jannah, then make sure you serve your mother and you make your mother happy. If you disrespect your mother, if you are angry with your mother, if you do not fulfill the rights of your mother, you will never be able to go in Jannah. And in another hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is questioned, man ahakku bi husni sahabati, who is the most worthy of my good behavior? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ummuka, your mother. He said, thumma man, after that, he said, ummuka, your mother. He said, thumma man, after that, O Messenger of Allah. He said, ummuka, your mother. He said, thumma man, who is after that? He said, thumma abuka, then your father. So my sisters, either you will only be a daughter. If you are only a daughter, Islam still honors you. It may be that you are a daughter and a sister as well. Then your honor is doubled. It's possible that you are a daughter, you are a sister, and you are a wife to somebody. Then your honor is trebled. And it is possible that you are a daughter, you are a sister, you are a wife, and you are a mother to somebody else. Imagine how much honor Islam has given you. Imagine how much honor Islam has given you. The honor and the freedom that we hear daily in the media, it is only a mirage. It is not real honor. It is exploitation of women. The real honor has been granted to the female gender, to the ladies, by Islam and by the creator of women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most merciful, most kind, most affectionate, most compassionate. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you so much honor, if Allah has been so kind to you, if Allah has made Jannat so easy for you, if Allah has been so lenient to you, then should you not be repaying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these favors? And how can you repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By creating His love in your heart. By fulfilling all His commands. And by telling yourself that what a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. That He has made me a Muslim woman who is respected by her brother, who is respected by her husband, who is respected by her sons, and who is respected by her father. So this is my message to you, my sisters. Make a firm resolution that from today, you will inshallah turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, change your life and feel proud of being a Muslim woman and fulfill the role of a Muslim woman. Study authentic books written by reliable ulama and try to mold your life accordingly. Continue to learn Islam, continue to practice. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to guide you, safeguard you, and make you from His most beloved ones. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.